Tonight, friends, I will unapologetically let Scripture do most of the talking. That's why I picked Matthew 26 and 27 portions of it for our text tonight. Most of us know the story of Jesus' betrayal, of his trial, of his crucifixion. Most of us know it so well that it can become a bit too familiar for us. So as I read portions of Matthew's account this evening, whether you read along with me or if you decide to picture the story in your mind as you hear the words, I do pray that each one of us hears it anew tonight, that each one of us is deeply moved by both the tragedy and the beauty of history's darkest good day. I'm going to read excerpts from Matthew 26 through 27, beginning in verse 1. I will tell you when I'm making a big jump in case you are reading along tonight. Matthew in his gospel says, "When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he had told his disciples, 'You know that the Passover takes place after 2 days, and that the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified.' Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the courtyard of the high priest, who was named Caiaphas, and they conspired to arrest Jesus in a treacherous way to kill him. 'Not during the festival,' they said, 'so that there won't be rioting among the people.'" Verse 17. "On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, 'Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my time is near. I'm celebrating the Passover at your place with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. And when evening came, he was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me.' Deeply distressed, each disciple began to say to him, 'Surely, not I, Lord.' And he replied, 'The one who dipped his hand with me in the bowl, he will betray me. And the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him if he had not been born.' Judas, the betrayer, replied, 'Surely not I, Rabbi.' Jesus told him, 'You have said it.' And then after praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, in verse 47, we read, 'Judas, one of the 12, suddenly arrived. A large mob with swords and clubs was with him from the chief priests and elders of the people. His betrayer had given them a sign, 'The one I kiss, he's the one. Arrest him.' So immediately he went up to Jesus and he said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and he kissed him. 'Friend,' Jesus asked him, 'why have you come?' Then they came and took a hold of Jesus and they arrested him. And at that moment, one of those with Jesus reached out his hand. He drew a sword. He struck the high priest's servant. He cut off his ear. And Jesus told him, 'Put your sword back in its place, because all who take up the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot call on my Father, and he will provide me here and now with more than 12 legions of angels? How then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happened this way?' At that time, Jesus said to the crowds, 'Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a criminal to capture me? Every day I used to sit teaching in the temple and you didn't arrest me. But all this has happened so that the writings of the prophets would be fulfilled.' And then the disciples deserted him and they ran away." Jesus on trial in front of the Jewish religious leaders. Verse 59. The chief priests, the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they couldn't find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two who came forward stated, "This man said, 'I can destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said to him, "Don't you have an answer to what these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under the oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said it," Jesus told him. "But I tell you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest, he tore his robes and he said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? See, you have heard the blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and they beat him. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who was it that hit you?" And then Good Friday came. Chapter 27, verse 1. When daybreak came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. After tying him up, they led him away. They handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Jesus had realized, Judas had realized that he had betrayed history's only innocent man for a few months' wages. And scripture tells us that he hung himself. Verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor. "Are you the king of the Jews?" the governor asked him. Jesus answered, "You say so." While he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he didn't answer. And then Pilate said to him, "Don't you hear how much they are testifying against you?" But he didn't answer them, even on one charge, so that the governor was quite amazed. The crowds, stirred by the religious leaders, they request the freedom of Barabbas, a notorious criminal, rather than Jesus' release. And in verse 22, Pilate asked them, "What should I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" And they all answered, "Crucify him." Pilate said, "Why? What has he done wrong?" But they kept shouting all the more, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that a riot was starting instead, he took some water, he washed his hands in front of the crowd, and he said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children." Then Pilate released Barabbas to them, and after having Jesus flogged, handed him over to be crucified. The governor's soldiers, they took Jesus into the governor's residence. They gathered the whole company around him. They stripped him. They dressed him in a scarlet robe. They twisted together a crown of thorns. They put it on his head. They placed a staff in his right hand. They knelt before him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat on him, took the staff, kept hitting him on the head. After they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, they put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him. And as they were going out, they found a Cyrenian man named Simon. They forced him to carry his cross, and when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they gave him a wine mixed with bitter gall to drink. And when he tasted it, he refused to drink it. After crucifying them, they divided his clothes by casting lots. Then they sat down and they were guarding him there. Above his head, they put up the charge against him in writing, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two criminals were crucified with him, one on the right, one on the left. Those who passed by were yelling insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, just come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests with the scribes, the elders, they mocked him and said, he saved others, but he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him then. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he takes pleasure in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, even the criminals who were crucified with him taunted him. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you abandoned me? When some of those that were standing there heard this, they said, he's calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, offered a drink, but the rest said, well, let's see if Elijah comes to save him. But Jesus, verse 50, cried out again with a loud voice, and he gave up his spirit. Suddenly, the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked. The rocks were split. The tombs also were open. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And they came out of the tombs. After his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion who was with him, who was keeping watch over Jesus, when he saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they were terrified. And they said, truly, this man is the Son of God. Many women who had followed Jesus from Galilee, looked after him, were there watching from a distance. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. And when it was evening, a rich man from Arimathea called Joseph, he came, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. He approached Pilate. He asked for Jesus' body, and then Pilate ordered that it be released. So Joseph took the body. He wrapped it in clean, fine linen. He placed it in his new tomb, which he had cut into the rock. He left after rolling a great stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were seated there, facing the tomb. That's where we find ourselves right now, in this moment, in the celebration of Good Friday, facing the tomb, recognizing, reflecting on an important reality that my sin, our sin, is the very reason that Jesus allowed himself to be betrayed, to be convicted as a criminal, to be abused and humiliated and killed upon a cross. Why have service on Good Friday? Because the reality of Easter becomes all the more beautiful and glorious in the wake of the cross. Because as Jesus's followers, it's good and it's right to put ourselves in the sandals of the first disciples, to mourn Jesus's death with them, to lament the death of history's only pure and innocent person, to think about its cause, its necessity, to come face to face with the weight, the impact, the horror of our own sin. Paul reflected on this reality. In Romans 4, he says that he was handed over to die because of our sins. The Apostle Peter said, he never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. Jesus, who is God the Son incarnate, became like us to put himself up on that cross, to suffer humiliation and death beyond any of our imaginations, to willingly pay the price of our rebellion. Most of you know that the cross isn't the end of the story. Even though Jesus had predicted otherwise, his followers, in that moment, in the days that followed, they thought that all was lost. They felt lost. And the truth is, if Easter hadn't come, they would have been, and so would we. Good Friday is only good because of Easter. Only when the Easter story becomes a part of our story through faith in Jesus Christ can you call that day 2,000 years ago good. Only if Jesus' death and resurrection really happened and you have bet all your chips on that, placed all of your trust and hope in who he said he was and what he did to rescue us, only then do you stand forgiven of your sin and justified before God. And for those forgiven, for those set free on account of Christ's work alone, today is indeed a very good Friday. Would you pray with me? Father, let us not walk away from this place and forget the story of the cross. To not just remember its impact, the result of it, the things that are true about us because of it, though that should be primary, but also to remember the story itself. That Jesus chose suffering. He chose humiliation. The co-creator of the universe became for us sin in order that we might not pay the eternal consequence of it. Help us to remember that, to never forget it. Would it change everything about us, who we are, all that we do and say and think? Father, would you stir in us an affection for Jesus that cannot be explained apart from your Spirit? Would you do it in the name of your Son? Amen. Let us not hurry away from the cross. Let us linger to survey, to stand, to ponder our Savior's suffering and his death. Consider carefully and well the preciousness of his sacrifice for you and the greatness of his mercy toward you. In the back of your bulletin, next to events and announcements, you'll see a responsive reading. And we're going to do that together tonight. When we've finished, we're going to do something different, a little different normal than our usual gatherings. We will dismiss and we will leave this place in silence and in darkness to represent the time between Christ's death and his resurrection. So as you contemplate in silence, would you place yourself in the story? Imagine what the disciples must have felt in this moment of Christ's death. We'll read the responsive reading together now. I'll read the portions labeled leader, and we'll all read the congregation portion together. Let us remember Jesus, who, though rich, became poor and dwelt among us, who was mighty indeed, healing the sick and the troubled, who, as a teacher to his disciples, was their companion and servant. May we ever be grateful for Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Let us remember Jesus, who prayed for the forgiveness of those who rejected him and for the perfecting of those who received him, who loved all people and prayed for them, even if they've denied and rejected him, who hated sin because he knew the cost of pride and selfishness, of cruelty and hatred, both to people and to God. May we ever be grateful for Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Let us remember Jesus, who humbled himself, obedient unto the cross. God has exalted him who has redeemed us from the bondage of sin and given us new freedom. May we ever be grateful for Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and continues to do for us. Take some time now to reflect on the cross in silence and all that God has done for you through it.